This is the moment, moment, let's be clear. This is your moment, moment, why you're here. This is the moment, moment, let's be clear. This is your moment, moment, why you're here. The mo, oh, 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 moment.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the first episode of The Moment. I'm your host with the absolute most, Khalil Berry, and I thank you for watching. Now, I hear you right now. You're saying, why should you watch another talk show? I get it. Why should you listen to another podcast? I hear you. And the answer is very simple. Because I'm hosting it, duh. Come on, somebody. No, seriously. Ever since the third grade, when my teacher handed out historical figures for every student in the class to research, she gave me Oprah. And since then, I've been enamored with figuring out how a successful person gets from point A to point M to point Z. And that's why The Moment was created. Now, for this first season, we're going to do something that Mother God Issa Rae told us to do. We are interviewing and networking across my circle instead of reaching up. Yep. Yep. They say, if you build it, they will come. So today, my friends, we start building. Now, for some current events, there are so many things I can pull from. There are so many scary, alien, crazy things going on. There are so many cool, amazing things going on. But I thought, why not go inward? Let's talk about something people call imposter syndrome. How do you overcome it? What is it? You know, how do you achieve your dreams in spite of it? Do you suffer from it? I have to be honest, most of my adult life, I have. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've accomplished some great things. I have been a lead in feature films. I have guest starred and recurred on some amazing TV shows. I've done humongous big commercial campaigns. I've been a lead on a touring production. I graduated from the American Musical and Dramatics Academy in New York City, but for some reason, when it comes to my own projects, I start to wonder, who's gonna care, you know? In fact, I have a pile of scripts over there that I've written that I've yet to do anything with. In fact, 8 years ago, I started on the journey and I assembled a great team of people behind me, led by Bo Youngblood. But before we could complete photography, that imposter syndrome reared its ugly head and spoke into my ears and I gave up. Ugh. I gave up. They say if you build it, they will come. So today we start building. Now for my first guest, I wondered who I should invite on. Who helps me complete this journey? And I said, let's have a full circle moment. So that producer from 8 years ago is now gonna be my first guest. She is working hard in a male-dominated field, and sis is succeeding. She created Showdown Productions with her partner, and she has just released her first directorial debut. It's called In Flight, and it is available on all platforms to purchase, so go do that. And in the meantime, everyone help me welcome my first guest. She is incredibly talented and just as equally beautiful. Director, producer, Bo Youngblood. The most, oh, moment. Hey there, everybody, and welcome back to The Moment. I am your host with the absolute most, Khalil Berry, and today we are here with the Bo Youngblood. I mean, come on. This girl just recently put out her first directorial debut, In Flight. It is everywhere. Go watch it. Go buy it. Go see it. I'm so lucky to have her here. Everyone, please welcome Bo Youngblood.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, girl. Hi. I feel like it's been so forever since I saw you.
Yeah.
The last time that I saw you, we were trying to do something together.
Yes.
And my imposter syndrome took over.
Yes.
So it is so wonderful to see you in your element now, doing your first thing and having you on my show doing my first thing. It's just, it was meant to be.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you. It was such an honor to get the request. And I was like, let's do it tomorrow.
Okay, so let's get into the question.
Okay.
You know, that everyone wants to know is why. It's the name of the show. It's the reason that people come here. So what was the moment that you realized your passion in life?
I was in eighth grade.
Okay.
And I'm from Phoenix. I was raised in Phoenix.
Right.
I was in eighth grade. I was in a non-denominational private school. And in English, we were studying Shakespeare. And we had just read, of course, Romeo and Juliet.
Of course.
Like, eighth grade hormones, you're like, ugh. And it happened to be the year that Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet came out. So we took a field trip as a class to go see in a theater.
Lucky.
And I was just like, I still get chills. I was like, I don't know what that is that I just saw, but whatever that is, I have to do it. And I had just never understood visual storytelling in that sense. And just reading and studying Shakespeare and then seeing the visual representation in a modern way with modern music and modern actors and the colors. And I just realized that it hit me in a way where I understood that visual storytelling can affect people in a much bigger way than I had ever understood. And from then on, that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't know what that was, to be honest with you. I was raised in a place that doesn't have an entertainment business.
Right.
So you see something on the big screen, you're like, I want to do that. And people are like, you want to be an actor? And you're like, sure.
Sign me up.
Yes. You know, and you just follow your path. And now I'm here directing and producing. But, you know, I think really it was just such, there was a before that moment and after that moment.
Oof.
And I'll never forget it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're from Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired the move to LA instead of New York or Atlanta or Chicago?
So I went to college. I went to Arizona State. You know, I graduated as fast as I could because I knew I wanted to come to LA. And it was closer. It didn't feel like such a big jump. Less scary.
Right,
I could drive home in 6 hours if I needed to. And the weather was great.
Right, true.
You know? And it just felt like, it felt to me like there happened to be more opportunity, even though I lived in a studio apartment. I didn't know anyone here.
Okay.
When I moved here, my parents took me to find an apartment. It was like the height of LA. 2006 or 7.
Okay,
forever
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
So like there were like no apartments to rent.
Oof.
Like everything was booked. And I happened to... We were driving through Beverly Hills trying to get some work because we didn't know where we were going. And there was a for rent sign. And it was for a one bedroom that was way over my budget. And the landlord, the woman who owned the building, was like, I'm about to redo a studio. And if you want it, you can like...
Come on, luck.
Yeah. And so like 3 months later, she called me when it was ready. And then I just moved.
Supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you discovered in eighth grade. But before that, were you a theater kid at all? Like, you have this vivacious personality that, like, attracts people towards you. So, like, did you do any of the theater, or has it always been visual, storytelling, film?
My family and I spent some time in New York, so my mom would always take me to see Broadway shows.
Ugh, lucky!
So, like, Cats.
Jesus.
Cats, the original Cats.
You saw it. You were there for it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I remember Starlight Express.
What?
Yes.
I had to watch all these things on PBS in Little Rock, Arkansas. I was not going to Broadway to see these shows.
So my mom was always really, my dad traveled a lot for work, and so she was always really adamant on getting me into activities and exposing me to different things. And so I remember Starlight Express. I remember Cats. I remember the feeling of going to the theater.
Ooh.
I'm not a singer. I've never have been. So that was never my
path or calling. She said,
It was never going to happen. You could put me in hours of training and it was never going to happen. And then I was also like into like visual arts, like painting and pottery and all that in high school. And so I think it was sort of photography. It was all just sort of coming together.
Okay, so there probably are people watching now who also started or want to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like coming from that transition from actor to producer, director? Like, how was that turn? Like, what did that feel like?
Sure. So I was in acting class at a studio called BGB.
Oh, yeah.
I love them. Reese is amazing. Steve Ron, who I will credit and who I love, changed my life forever.
Really?
I understood, like, I was taught an emotional language that I just never grew up with, just because I think in our society, we don't really talk about true feelings and expressing them in a way that is honest. And they were huge in the movement of creating your own material. Because as actors, you wait and wait and wait for the call.
And wait.
And wait. right? Ugh. For the call on the audition, and then the audition comes, and then it's like everything rides on it. It's a sing, and if you don't get it, it's like my life is over. If you get it, you're like,
right.
You think your life is going to change, and guess
right.
what?
It does change. Not.
No. So they were really advocates of creating your own material. So I got together with two other classmates of mine, Tessa and Will, and we wrote this web series. Because that's, like, what was hot then.
Right.
And it was a really fun single-camera comedy about a casting director. Very similar in the vein of, like, The Office.
Okay, yeah.
We were writing about something we knew. Like, Casting Office. Reese is an amazing casting director. And so we were oftentimes readers for Masters of Sex and a bunch of shows that she cast. So we were writing about something that we knew.
Right.
So then we started a GoFundMe page. Because, like...
That's what you did.
Like, right there. I don't know. I don't know how to do this.
Right.
And they gave us $500 and let us shoot in their space for free. Yep. And they said shoot on the weekend. And, you know, and we got some other money and we sort of did this thing without knowing how to do it. And it was really fun and we learned a lot. And from there, I met another student who... was trying to produce their feature script that they had written.
What?
And then I was introduced through them to some people and happened to find myself on a set of a micro-budget feature film where I was the... I got a co-producer credit, but I was also the coordinator. So I was in a situation where I had a lead producer who was wrapping something else. And so she called me and she's like, have you done the permits yet? And I was like, yep, totally started them today. And I'd be like, Google... And then I would go to Film LA and I would make a ton of mistakes, but right. you know,
you
learn from those mistakes right. and I was doing all this stuff and I felt like I was failing and I felt like I was drowning and I went to the production meeting and I was prepared to quit because I was like, this isn't like, I don't know what I'm doing and I don't want to be the one responsible for the failure of this film.
Ooh, the pressure.
So I was sitting there, and it's my first production meeting, like, on a film, you know.
Right, right, right.
I had no fucking idea what's happening. And so then I went up to her to quit, and she was sort of like, so it was your last film? And I was like, oh, I've never done this before. And she's like, what do you mean? And she was like, I will teach you everything you need to know. And, like, she was really lovely and an advocate of mine. I worked with her for a couple years. And then, yeah, I just was...
That's what they mean when they say it's about who you know.
Yeah.
Because... one person led to the next thing, led to the next thing. That's so cool.
And it's about people who want to teach.
Right.
You know, because if any of those people had not wanted to teach someone who had Oof. No idea, you know, who knows what would have happened. Oof. And so I always carry that with me. And whenever there's someone who really wants to know, I'll teach them, you know, I'll let them shadow or I'll teach them how to do a budget or I'll show them how to do a schedule. Like, whatever I can do to help that person, to give them the tools. Because that...
people need help.
And people did that for me.
Yeah.
And so you have to, like, continue.
Give back. Yeah. Right. Each one teach one. Pass it on.
Yeah.
You have an affinity for producing. What, I don't know, makes you want to do one script, one project over the next?
Well, working in indies, I will say you do have the freedom to choose over sort of a studio system. And there's, like, a whole, we could talk about that for 4 hours, 5 hours. But but ideally, I think what comes down to it is you look at the genre. Horror and thriller are the most profitable. And so...
For the indies.
I mean, I think in the studio system as well, but for indies, especially with sales and distribution, it's a lot easier to get a really good horror thriller off the ground and sort of running rather than a drama.
You hear that, folk? Write yourself a good horror thriller film, and it's easier to get
yes.
it.
Yes, and make it places. Really scary, really original. You know, actors love dramas,
right.
and I love actors so much, and I right. love the wanting to, like, feel and express, but, right. like...
You ain't making no money.
Thank you.
Like, who's cast? Who's in the cast?
Right. So I think you have to, like, really look at genre and then go from there, and then it's reading the script, and if it's something we've seen before but told in a different way, that's really interesting. If it's maybe something that we haven't seen before, that's really interesting. I think oftentimes the script may not be perfect or there yet, but there's something in it that's really interesting. And then you work in development and sort of get it where it needs to be.
So you're working with them to get the script where it needs to get to.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to jump into your directorial debut, mm-hmm. In Flight. I watched it. I thought it was absolutely awesome. I love the turn at the end. I was kind of like intrigued all the way through it. How did that come about?
So Drew and John wrote the script. Drew happens to work and run Arrow Mockups, which is the airplane set.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he called and was like, hey, my boss is out of town for like 10 days. You want to shoot something here? And I was like, well, I need more than like a week's notice. But let's think about this. Like, it sparks the idea of like, well, we can't really do anything next week. That's impossible. Right. But like, let's think about how we can use this resource.
Right.
So then John and I went to Arrow Mockups, and we've been there before. We've shot different things in different set pieces there, and we really like, toured the space, and they really worked backwards. So we had the location. We knew what we had.
Right.
And then they came up with the story. John came up with the story about Claire and sort of everything that she's going through, but they sort of wrote the script together in, I'd say, about 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay, wow.
And we talked to Richard, who owns the studio. He was on board. So, you know, he did us a huge favor and gave us the space for free.
My gosh.
And came on as an executive producer. And we were really lucky in that way. So we kind of worked backwards, which I think is a really interesting way to work. I think it just gives you, like, it just challenges you in different ways. And John came to me and sort of said, like, why don't you direct this? And we had been pitching me to direct my first feature with different scripts around town. And as much as we don't like the truth of sort of the entertainment business, we had been told that studios and companies would not finance a first-time female director.
Oh, my gosh. We are still there.
So it was a moment where we were like, okay, fine. Then we'll do it ourselves. And
good for you.
Yeah.
Do it yourself, everybody. Whether you're a woman, male, whoever, they might not give you any money. So go do it yourself.
And I preferred it that way, to be honest with you, because we were in total control. We raised the money. They wrote the scripts. We had the space. I hired a bunch of friends. And like the thing that I love about having it in our control was a lot of these people that I called and literally said, without them seeing a script, I said, I have a project. It's going to be my directorial debut. I really want you to be in it. Like, I'll send you the script. And people were like, yes, without reading. Ugh. And it's such a, like a testament of friendship. And I think being here for almost 20 years, you are such fans of your friends because you've seen them really work and you know what they're capable of, and you know that the people in the studios and the networks haven't seen it yet because they haven't been given the opportunity.
Right.
And it was really a wonderful place for me to say, I want you to play this role because I know it's nothing that you'll ever get cast in right now, but I know it's where you're headed and I know you're gonna kill it. And people were so grateful, and they jumped in without even, like, reading. They were like, whatever you need, I'm there. And it was such a wonderful gift.
Oof, my gosh. What I loved about it the most is seeing your Easter egg of yourself in there. No, because I love watching movies. It brings me back to the old days of movies when, like, so many directors would put themselves in it, like, little bitty little things, you know? Like, I feel like M. Night Shyamalan does it. Spike Lee does it. Who's your person you love? Yes. Hitchcock did it.
It was It was an ode to Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, go, girl. Go ahead.
It was also during the strike. So, I mean, it was 100% an ode to Hitchcock, but I also knew that I couldn't ask anyone to come, you know, for an hour and play.
Right.
But it was fun.
Oof.
I was sweating. I was like, the costume was too small for me. I was like, I am not used to this.
I mean, you are used to it. She's a fierce actress.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't done
it. It's been a while.
I haven't done it in forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a director, you're intricately involved in casting. Mm-hmm. What made you cast these two leads? Because I feel like they worked well together. And everybody knows Christoph Hernandez from... what was the Apple show?
Ted Lasso.
He's so good in that. Yes. So, and I love what he did in this. You did cast him in a role that he normally probably wouldn't, but he's so perfect at it.
He's great.
Like, how did you come to them as these these characters?
So Christo, I know Christo, I've known him for a couple years. We know each other through his publicist, who's one of my best friends, Tej. And he asked me to direct a short that he was in a couple years ago.
Okay.
And he was playing a very eccentric, sort of darker character. And he had like this mustache that he was obsessed with. And it was like this whole alter ego of his. And that's where I met Tiffany, who plays Claire.
Okay.
And when the script idea came up, you know, I was reading the drafts and I was like, first of all, she's in every scene.
Yeah.
And so I need someone who can handle it and has sort of all of these qualities. And I think, you know, just working with Tiffany, she took notes so well. And like, I said one thing and she's like, got it. And it was such an easy working relationship that I felt like really it was something that we could be in the trenches together. And I knew that we could communicate really easily back and forth.
Wow.
And so I just called her and I said, can we go grab a coffee?
Okay, so you mentioned Hitchcock earlier. That was the reason for your Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. Is there a director whose work you absolutely adore and is the reason why you are directing now?
There's a few. Tarantino is an early.
Okay. Yeah.
I love him. I think he's so innovative and like dark and like twisted, but like in such a yummy way. I love his stuff. Like the color, like every, like the way he used color and music and the shots. And I think it's so innovative. And I think he was so ahead of his time. Sofia Coppola is a huge one.
Oh, yeah.
I think the way that she deals with female storytelling is just really beautiful, and her use of femininity in film is really different. And I think people are so scared for femininity on the big screen in a way, and she kind of just said, charged. I mean, Lost in Translation is like
truth.
Like you like to find a better relationship movie.
Right.
There is none.
Yeah.
Like I think about that last scene like constantly. Like, what do they say to each other? You know, like, like someone that's sort of not a new director, but sort of in this space of her own is Olivia Wilde.
Okay, yeah.
I love her. I thought Booksmart was really great.
It was very inventive.
It was just like, I think that she deals with relationships in a really interesting way. And I think, I mean, especially like in a YA film, and I love YA.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like it was the most honest. I mean, there was stuff that was, like, pretty out there, but, like, I felt like that relationship I understood and knew.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, those are sort of the three that I go to all the time.
And those are three amazing
yeah.
ones. Like, it makes sense why you are successful.
Thank you.
Okay, so, for you, what's next?
Oh. I am looking for my next film to direct.
Okay.
I have one script that I have that we haven't start packaging yet, but it is a YA, of course.
Okay.
I'm like obsessed with teenagers. I don't know why. It's like
I mean, Netflix has brought us all back to the YA. It's like, everywhere.
But like even this like Gen Z, like I like am obsessed with them, and I think it's because they're like dressing like we used to dress. You know what I mean? Like, I like I'm like, oh, you kind of looked like how I looked. So it's a YA horror that takes place at Christmas.
Literally, I just put an ad up on Facebook yesterday talking about, does anyone else love Christmas movies and horror movies combined? Because that is my number one mm-hmm. thing that I love. Yes! That's
it's
fierce.
It's really fun. So the original script was sent to my production partner, John. He sent it to me because he was like, I feel like all of these things, it's like your world. And I read the script and I called. And that's just also... we get blind submissions all the time. Sometimes it's hard to keep up with them, but a lot of times we do read the emails or look at the projects. Mm-hmm. So even though some people will say don't do it, that's how I got this movie.
Yeah. Right.
So I called the screenwriter and I just started talking to her and she said, well, you know, this is written. I wrote the book. And I was like, oh, she did? Send me the book.
I want source material.
Yeah. And so she sent me the book and I read the book and I was like, oh, I don't think she had written the screenplay before, but after reading the book, I was like, oh, I see like how we can do this. And so Drew, who wrote In Flight, penned the screenplay and it's super fun. And, you know, it's really, really fun. So I'm hoping that that's the next one. But I'm reading just to see.
You hear that, everybody? A YA horror comedy is coming to a theater near you soon.
Yes.
Okay? Thank you, girl. Thank you for this interview. This is so fun. Up next, everyone, we have a game with the Bo Youngblood, so stay tuned, okay? Bye.
Hi, I'm Bo Youngblood. Check out this exclusive clip from my film, In Flight.
Please, take a seat.
He needs to write it out. God, poor guy. Can we help you? He's not having a seizure.
What?
Look at him. He's not breathing.
Ma'am, please
check his pulse. If it's low, that means he's going into anaphylactic shock and he can't breathe. Where are his things?
Over there.
No, take that, ma'am. Take that. We got this.
Hurry. Get him on his side.
Stay with us. It's gonna be all right.
They won't land the plane if he dies, will they?
Hey, everybody, and back to the moment. I'm your host with the absolute most, Cleo Berry. We are back with Bo Youngblood. This is our game portion of the show. So we play a ish light game. They're not paying me. I'm not paying them. So It's like, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pull out a one of these. You tell me which one you want me to pull out, either a movie or an action. Okay. I act the thing out. You guess it correctly. If you guess a certain number in a minute, we will donate a portion of our budget to your charity of choice. Great. If you would like, please tell us about your charity.
Sure. The charity is called the Space Project. It's a free spay and neuter program for underserved areas of Los Angeles. There's a huge dog crisis, a shelter crisis going on right now, and it's tackling the root of the problem, which is access to spay and neuter. And they're dealing with this whole desert dog situation where they're rescuing this whole
desert dogs.
Yeah, there are like these 15 or 20 dogs that are in a pack that are living in this like empty RV in the desert, and so they take food and water out, and they build shelters, and they're fixing all of them so they have no more babies and
my gosh. I don't know.
So it's a great place.
Oh wow. Okay, so that's space.
Space. SPAYCE.
Okay, we'll add it at the bottom of the screen for you guys to go check them out and donate. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's start the game. Byron, are we ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. 1 minute on the clock.
I do an action.
Action?
Action. Making clay, making pottery, sandcastle.
Yes!
Okay.
Okay. this should be an easy one for you.
Directing a film. Producing a film. Filming. Film. Filming a movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Riding a motorcycle.
Oh my gosh, yes. Our boy.
Okay.
This is a movie.
Okay. Running Man? No, that's not even a movie. Rain Man? No. Feel.
I'm gonna do another movie.
Okay.
I'm gonna do another movie.
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Movie's
time.
Very hard. What was that one?
Landing an airplane. How weird! Your movie's about this. And
what was it? Ran?
Ran. I've never heard of this movie before.
No.
But guess what? We are very generous here.
Thank you.
And so we're donating to your charity, so space. Hey, Bo Youngblood did it for you guys. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so we're going to end the show right now.
Okay.
But do you have any advice for anyone who wants to direct, you know, their own movies, especially if they're female in this industry? Do you have anything to give, any advice for the people?
I would say... the advice that I was given is just create your own material. We all have phones that have amazing cameras.
Yes.
We can buy mics.
Hey.
You see them all the time.
Hey.
On TikTok, right? And just start experimenting, start learning how to edit, start putting your stuff together, and, you know, get together with friends who are really talented and do that, and then submit it and just start building your portfolio and your reel and be nice to everyone on set. I can't tell you how many times I hire people because I just want to be around them because they're lovely people.
Oh.
And I have a no asshole policy on set.
Good, yes.
Like, there's always that one person and it's not needed. So just be nice and be gracious.
Please.
And,
no one has the time for that.
No, and it's true. It's like, I want to be, I will hire all the people that I want to be around.
Right.
Not that they're not brilliant at their jobs.
But right, right, right.
It's just because it makes everything so much easier. Right. Pleasant. But get together with your friends, create stuff, try stuff, and be nice.
Yes, everyone, please go check out In Flight, in stores right now. Follow Bo Youngblood on all of her socials, and let's create together, okay? Thank you so much for coming on to the show. Now, before I leave, I'd like to say, Issa Rae, thank you for your advice. Byron had reminded me that we should network across instead of trying to network up. Mm. And this is my first time networking across and actually creating content. Mm. So thank you, Issa Rae. This seat is always waiting for you whenever you're ready. Thanks for watching the show, everybody. We will see you next time. We're going to mop up this water that spilled everywhere, all over the table. But we'll see you guys later, okay? Bye.
Girl, I'm so excited for your trip to Paris. You never do anything for yourself.
Text me when you get to the airport.
So you're flying later? Where are you heading?
Paris. I am going to live out my favorite movie fantasy. My favorite movie is...
Before sunrise.
You know what? Can you excuse me? I just need to run to the ladies quick. This can't be...
I don't remember boarding the plane.
Did not have that many drinks.
Are you okay? You seemed a little out of it. We only helped you with your suitcase.
You helped me?
Yeah, you asked me to help you.
Okay. This is exactly why you need this vacation. What is happening?
Someone left me this note.
When you put the pieces together.
What is this?
All I know is I'm supposed to tell you to find the source. Someone unsuspecting.
One of the passengers is not lazy.
Direct your attention one way.
Am I crazy?
Well, something else is happening.
Someone help! What have you done?
You okay? You've had quite the flight.
You have no idea.
This is the moment, let's be clear. This is your moment, why